Today is the commemoration of the disappearance days of Bhaktivinod Thakur and also Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So we're going to be speaking about both of these personalities. Let me just close some of the other things going on my computer. So it doesn't lag. Leave that open. Close that. Alright, that should be good enough. Okay. Whoops. Let's go. So first we're going to chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas. Saparshada Gora Viraha Vilapa. Saparshada Gora Viraha Vilapa is the song written by Narottama Das Thakur in separation from the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada instructed that we should chant this particular song every disappearance day of a great Vaishnava. So we're going to chant this song. Yayani lo prima donna kodanat pachur. Yayani lo prima donna kodanat pachur. Yayani lo prima donna kodanat pachur. Enu Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Taku. Kalamora Sarubarupa Kasanata Kakata Sarat Matita Bhavan Kahamor Bhatta Yuga Kalaka Viras Ekakane Kota Kela Dora Natura. Shane kutimo mata anane machito Toranda gune rane ne kutagile Sezamba sangira sange Ye kuilo vila Sangana paya kande Narottamadas Jayani lo prema donna Karuna prachur Hey lo prabhu Kotagela Acharya Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hatiyade Hati Rama Hati Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Sadashi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachadanara Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Go Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Sivasini Gaur Vakta Vrinda Gijaya Shishi Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagadavasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimati Kalasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhagavan. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Budle Shimati Bhakti Vila Swabaniti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. Om Ganat Timuranda Shaganan Jana Shlakaya Chakshur Nidhikam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada has kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today, as I mentioned before, is the commemoration of the disappearance days of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay. So let me read the translation of this poem. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Srinivasacharya Gan. Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where my Raghunath Bhattan, Gopal Bhattan? Where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities, being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes? Narottama Das simply weeps. So, today we are commemorating the disappearance day of these two great personalities. First, I want to talk about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and I am going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita one verse which we read this morning. We also spoke about the subject matter this morning in class, but it bears repeating, and hopefully I won't repeat myself too much. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 10th chapter, text 15 states, and this is about Gadadhar Pandit's ontological position, that means who he is. And we know he's a member of the Panchatattva, right? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. And the Panchatattva has three Vishnu Tattvas, that is Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Dvaita Acharya, one Shakti Tattva, that means the Lord's energy. In fact, the Adi Shakti, that's Gadadhar, and one Jiva Tattva, that means a regular spirit soul like you and I, and that is Srivast Thakur, who is an incarnation of Narada Muni. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and the mood of Radharani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Lord Nityananda is Balaram, Balaram Hoilin Tai. Advaita Acharya is Sadashiva and also Mahavishnu. And we have Gadadhar Pandit, who is the Adi Shakti of the Lord, who is actually Srimati Radharani. So let's read this verse. Vara Shaka Gadadhar Pandita Goshani Tehun Lakshmi Rupa Kanra Samakina Nahi. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one can equal him. And Prabhupada's purport, in the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, 147.53, it is stated that Sri Krishna's pleasure potency, formerly known as Vrindavan Aishwari, that of course is Radharani, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Swarup Goswami, Damodar Goswami, has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyamashundarabhava. The same Shyamashundarabhava is now present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. In the 12th part chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So, this may appear to be a little bewildering. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is being described here as basically Lalita Devi and also Srimati Radharani. How is that possible? Well, let me explain how it's possible. So we find Krishna. Let's talk about Vishnu Tattva expansions right now. So Krishna expands as who? Balaram, Prajuna, Aniruddha, and then you have the quadruple expansions, Vasudev, Sankarsana, Prajuna, and Aniruddha, and all the way to the Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu, which manifest, or whom manifest various aspects of this world. But as we've spoken many times before, Advaita Chuta Nadi Renanta Rupa Majam Purana Purasham Navayovanam Cha. There's only one God, and he appears in various places simultaneously. So Radharani and her expansions, that means the Shaktis, she's the Adi Shakti, the original Shakti of the Lord, the Ladini Shakti, they are one and different simultaneously, but they are the same. So to consider Gadadhar to be Lalita at the same time to be Radharani is not inappropriate. Of course, also you have Lalita appearing as Swarup Damodar Goswami and Vishakha appearing as Ramananda Roy. So it's very esoteric. So in any way, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Srimati Radharani. But as Srimati Radharani, he is acting, or she is acting, in a different way than she normally acts in relationship to Krishna. Because normally in relationship to Krishna, she's more spicy, she argues with Krishna, gets angry with Krishna. Whereas other gopis, such as Chandravali, they do not really manifest their anger towards Krishna, or it's, you know, very subdued. And wives such as Rukmini, they do not manifest their anger towards Krishna, although Krishna likes anger insofar as his interactions with his consorts is concerned. I mean, just like even with the coward boys, Krishna likes a good wrestling match, and a good wrestling match, you know, people are calling each other names and wrestling and trying their best to defeat Krishna. So Krishna likes that sort of rasa, that taste. where there's some opposition on the part of his devotees. Not opposition on the part of demons, but opposition on the part of devotees. So Krishna enjoys this very much. So we have Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who is not manifesting that. And as I explained this morning in class, the reason he's not manifesting that is because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting that. And so he is deferring. He still has the same bhav, but out of service, he is deferring to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is manifesting that particular bhav. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So in the mood of Srimati Radharani, there's that left-handed bhav, the unsubmissive or argumentative bhav, the anger that sometimes manifests, anger bhav that's sometimes manifested. So therefore, you have to have Gadadhar Pandit, not you have to, but Gadadhar Pandit stands by the side, and he is appreciating and even instructing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to exhibit the bhav of Radharani. Wow. For example, when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he did spend the final portion of his pastimes in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would instruct Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately is very much a rasa shastra and culminates in the understanding of the relationship between Radha and Krishna. So actually, he was instructing Lord Chaitanya, giving a Bhagavatam class every day, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appreciating. So in one sense, you could say Gadadhar, in a very subtle way, was helping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifest that particular bhav. It's a very important fine point. Not that he didn't have that Gadadhar didn't have that bhav, but out of service, he actually put that aside so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could perform his particular pastimes. Okay, so now let's speak a little bit about his life, if we can say life in regard to a pure devotee. So he appeared in this world in 1486 and disappeared in 1534. He was born in a Brahmin family, and from the time he was just a little boy, he was always in the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a year younger than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gadadhar's mother considered Sachi Devi to be like her sister, an older sister. So there was like village family relationship. You know, I'm trying to understand in the villages, traditional villages in India and other places in the world, people actually had family relationships, even though their relationship was not a blood relationship. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit were like externally like brothers in a village relationship, and Sachi Mata and Radnavati Devi, who was Gadadhar Pandit's mother, was like that. Was friends, practically relationship, sister with Sachi Mata. So anyway, Gadadhar, it's also called, Lord Chaitanya is called Gadadhar Prananath. So from their very early pastimes, that means that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. So while they're in Navadvip, of course originally in Navadvip or Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya didn't exhibit his pastimes of being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would sometimes try to disturb Gadadhar Pandit with whimsical questions and what we call sophistry. Gadadhar didn't like this, and so for a while he kept Lord Chaitanya at a distance, but still he was very attracted to him. So this was a great dilemma for Gadadhar Pandit. In fact, even one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something that really caused Gadadhar Pandit to think that this person is really puffed up. He said, Gadara, by your mercy, I shall become a great Vaishnava, that even Brahma and Shiva will come and bow down to me. Now, Gadara, when he heard that, he thought, oh my God, oh my God. And they studied in school together, same village school. And so there's an interesting story about Gadadhar's initiation. He took initiation from Pundarik Vijayaniti. We told that story this morning, but it bears telling again very quickly. Gadadhar was very close with another devotee who was a great singer named Mukunda Dutt. So what happened is that once upon a time, Mukunda Dutt invited Gadadhar to see Pundarik Vijayaniti. Incidentally, Pundarik Vijayaniti is considered an incarnation of Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu, of course, is the name of the father of Srimati Radharani in Braj. So here you got the father and the daughter, of course, the father and the daughter as a male at this particular point. So Pundarik Vijayaniti, when Gadadhar and Mukunda encountered him, was sitting on a very opulent bedstead, and he appeared to be a great materialist, you know, like slick back hair, four-poster bed, silk sheets, chewing on betel. And Gadadhar was thinking, you know, this couldn't be a great devotee. He's a materialist because he's trying to enjoy this material world. But Mukunda Dutt understood the consciousness of Gadadhar. To rectify that, he began singing a verse of Krishna Lila from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Pundarik Vijayaniti fell to the ground and just went unconscious, and he basically ripped apart his bedstead and was all disheveled and everything like that. Gadadhar realized that he had made a big mistake, and as a result, he decided to take initiation from Pundarik Vijayaniti. And he took initiation from Pundarik Vijayaniti after Pundarik Vijayaniti came back to consciousness and decided on an auspicious day. And Pundarik Vijayaniti said, when he understood that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was going to take initiation from him, he said, only after many, many lifetimes does one get a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Also, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took shiksha from Ishwarapuri when Ishwarapuri came to Navadvip. And what happened is that when he came to Navadvip, he was actually teaching his book. It was a book about Govinda's pastimes, something Krishna or Govinda Lilamrita. That's a different Govinda Lilamrita. But anyway, it was a book about Krishna's pastimes, and he taught that to Gadadhar too. So Gadadhar had association with Pundarik Vijayaniti, with Ishwarapuri, who later on became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, where he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he actually manifested himself as an ocean of love, and he manifested his real nature as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Gadadhar was overwhelmed with ecstasy to see this. So one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling great separation from Krishna, said, Gadadhar, where is Shyamasundara? Where is Shyamasundara? Where is the Lord of Vrindavan, who is dressed in yellow cloth? And Lord Chaitanya began to weep, and Gadadhar said, Krishna is in your heart. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking this literally, of course it was literal, but taking it in an external sense, began to tear at his chest with his nails. And Gadadhar grabbed his hands, and the Lord said, let go of my hands if I can't see Krishna. Wow. If I can't see Krishna, then what is the use of my life? Wow. Wow, that's amazing. It's an amazing pastime. And Gadadhar replied, if you just remain patient, Krishna will surely reveal himself. He will come here before very long. Lord Chaitanya was pacified, and Sachimata, seeing this, was thinking Gadadhar is very intelligent. I don't have to fear for Gaura Hari, because that was Lord Chaitanya's name then. She said, Gadadhara, you should always be with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's another story that I didn't tell this morning. In the house of Shuklambara Brahmachari, Lord Chaitanya was speaking about Krishna, and the Lord began to speak, and he became so much overwhelmed with ecstasy, he fell into a trance. And the devotees surrounding him just began to absorb that energy and swim in the waves of prema. Everybody was tasting great Krishna prema at that time. And Gadadhar was crying. And Lord Chaitanya said, who is that within the house who is weeping so intensely? Gadadhar. Shuklambara Brahmachari says, you're Gadadhar. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You, Gadadhar, you are most fortunate. From your early childhood, you have been a determined devotee of Krishna. My own birth is useless because of all of my sinful karma. I could not attain Krishna." And then the Lord embraced him. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his pastimes in Navadvipa when he was 24 years old, he took sannyas and left everything and went to live in Jagannath Puri. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami followed him, went to Jagannath Puri to live. And Gadadhar Pandit took the order of sannyas called Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means that one vows to stay in a holy place. One can even stay with one's family, but Gadadhar never got married, of course. To stay in a holy place and to serve in a particular way and not to leave that particular holy place. So Gadadhar had taken the vow to serve a deity called the Tota Gopinath deity. That deity is practically the only flute playing, sitting down, life size, or bigger than life size, deity of Krishna. And at that time, the deity of Tota Gopinath was actually standing up. And later on, the deity sat down to allow Gadadhar to take care of him. So he took that vow, and when Lord Chaitanya, to stay, it was a very serious vow. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving to go to Vrindavan, then Gadadhar attempted to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then Lord Chaitanya got very disturbed with him and said, you've taken this vow of Kshetra Sannyas. And Gadadhar said, you know, let my vow of Kshetra Sannyas basically go to hell. And that shows his great love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was willing to renounce a vow. You know, in those days, a vow was considered extremely important. Nowadays, you know, one makes a promise, you know, so what? But in those days, extremely important, especially amongst the Brahmins. He's willing to renounce that out of love. Of course, we cannot imitate that. So, basically, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him and protected his vow and sent him back to take care of Tota Gopinath. And as we mentioned before, Gadadhar used to teach a Bhagavatam class every day to hear from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So after 48 years of the Lord's pastimes, the Lord decided to disappear by entering into this Tota Gopinath deity of Gadadhar Pandit. And within a short time later, Gadadhar Pandit passed away from this world, also entering into the deity room of Tota Gopinath, because he could not bear the separation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, the Bhagavatam that he was using to teach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was illegible because he was crying, and Lord Chaitanya was crying, as they were reading the Bhagavatam. And so that Bhagavatam later, before Gadadhar Pandit decided to leave this world, Srinivasacharya came to learn Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, but he couldn't, and Gadadhar Pandit couldn't read that Bhagavatam because that Bhagavatam was completely illegible. And so when Srinivasacharya left to get another copy of the Bhagavatam, in the meantime, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami left this material world, and Srinivas was bereft, feeling the separation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and of course from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srinivas met Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, met Swarup Damodar Goswami one time, but when he came back, then he could not meet them anymore. So, several different, one or two other items about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami gave Diksha to Ballabha Bhatta, the head of the Pushti Marg, or the Ballabha Sampradaya, of course, the Ballabhacharya Sampradaya, or Ballabha Sampradaya. He gave Diksha, and how he gave Diksha, there's an interesting story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we touched upon just recently in our readings of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. How he gave Diksha is very interesting, is that Ballabha Bhatta had taken shelter of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had basically kicked him out, rejected him, because Ballabha Bhatta was attempting to surpass the commentary of Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Swami, on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sridhar Swami is the original commentator of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya said, you know, anybody who rejects the Swami's commentary is a prostitute. So, but Gadadhar was just very meek, so he couldn't keep Ballabha Bhatta away, and Ballabha Bhatta forced him to hear this commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar was just like praying, oh Lord Chaitanya, please forgive me. And Lord Chaitanya at that time sort of neglected Gadadhar Pandit. And, you know, was just like, showed externally that he was displeased, even though he wasn't displeased. Later on, when Ballabha Bhatta became accepted by Lord Chaitanya again, when he apologized and became remorseful and rectified his consciousness, and then Gadadhar was approached by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya said, why did you reproach me? I mean, chastise me or ask for a correction. And Gadadhar said, I couldn't do that, you know, because of a submissive attitude. You know, it's an indication of a submissive attitude. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on gave him permission to give initiation to Ballabha Bhatta. So, I think that's about it as far as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is concerned. And now, we are going to speak about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, is the spiritual master of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, Bhaktivedanta Thakur is called the Seventh Goswami, and that title was given to him by a great personality, and I forget the great personality's name, you'll have to forgive me. But anyway, it was given to him by a great personality who was a famous writer. Famous writer. His name was Shishir Kumara Ghosh. And he was the founder of the Amrita Bazar Patrika, which is a famous newspaper, and author of the Sri Amiya Nimai Charita. That means about Lord Nityananda. And he was also engaged by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in preaching Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, so he's called the Seventh Goswami, but it's interesting, Goswami means Goswami. In other words, someone who can control his senses. And generally, it's a title, except nowadays it's become an hereditary title, but generally it's a title for those in the renounced order of life, you know, sannyasis. Just like my title is Bir Krishna, Goswami. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is called a Goswami, Seventh Goswami, in spite of being a householder with so many children, because he controlled his senses and dedicated his life to Krishna. So that's a real Swami, one who controls his senses, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Mudra Pashta Vegam. And yat karoshi yat nashi yashta hoshi tadas yat yat pasha shikonti yat tat kurishwa madarpanam. Whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be done for Krishna. And also in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmano Hutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhanam. That if one makes a full contribution to devotional service, then not only is the goal spiritual, but all the ingredients used in the goal are spiritual. Like the example used in that particular verse is Havir or Ghee. That ghee is not necessarily spiritual, but when it's offered to Krishna in a fire sacrifice, it becomes spiritual. So, a little bit about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about him. But I had a list of all the books, which I'm not going to read, believe me. It's too many books, too many articles. I counted them today. There's 78 major publications by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Amazing. And there's novels, there's philosophical works, there's commentaries. I mean, a whole variety of things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. Amazing, amazing personality. So here's a little bit about his life. Let's talk about his dedication. How did he write so many books? Well, he practically did not rest at all. He took rest at 7:30 to 8 o'clock at night, got up at 10, and wrote until 4 a.m. in the morning. And then he would chant his japa and write letters in the meantime. I took a little half-hour rest in the meantime and took another 15-minute rest, which we call a power nap nowadays, before he went to work. Then he did a full day of work. He shaved his head. He was very strong as a court justice. And he would do the work of an ordinary court justice at a half a day, of a full day of regular court justice, he would do that work in a half a day. And so he went to court, came back for lunch, and refreshed himself. And then at 5 o'clock, he translated more works from Sanskrit to Bengali. And he spoke several different languages: Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Latin, Urdu, Persian, and Orient. He started writing books at the age of 12. And he continued up practically into the departure from this world. When he actually departed from this world, here are my notes, he actually took Babaji order shortly before he departed. Shortly before he departed in June 23rd, 1914. This is when he departed. And he locked himself up, feigning sickness, so he could engage in Nirjana Bhajana. Nirjana Bhajana means without any people there, just chanting the holy name and worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a little biography here. Born on 2nd of September, 1838, in Bengal. And he was the seventh son. His father's name was Raja Krishnananda Datta, who was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. He was born in a quite wealthy family, but after some time, things turned south. His brother died of cholera. His father passed away when he was 11 years old, and all their wealth got taken away through different subterfuges of relatives and other people like that. So he was first married when he was 12 years old. Of course, at that time, people got married very young, but they didn't live with each other. But at least when they got older, there wasn't this, like, is she or he meant for me? All this romantic stuff. And everything was calculated very nicely by astrology. When he became ill, and he was treated by a Muslim soothsayer, the Muslim predicted he would become recognized as a great devotee and preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. He was so educated that even when he was 18, he trained up someone to be an orator who later became a famous orator in the English Parliament. Whew. That's pretty interesting. And when he was very young, like 18, he composed a two-part English epic named the Porriad about Alexander the Great, the life of Porus, who met Alexander the Great. In the beginning, he was attracted to Christian theology because Christian theology is monotheistic. And what was generally being taught as Indian philosophy or Hindu philosophy was either, you know, Vaivad philosophy or polytheistic or demigod worship or something that was completely not attractive to him. Because as a Nichisita devotee, I think I should mention that. Nichisita means he came from the spiritual world. He wouldn't have been attracted to anything but the glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. And so he was attracted to a lot of the Christian theology, which was glorifying God. I mean, maybe not so scientifically as the Vedic literatures do, but he was attracted to that. And so when he was 21, he was told by his grandfather, who was passing away, paternal grandfather, whose name was Rajavallabha Dutt, that he should visit all the holy places in Orissa. His grandfather was actually psychic, and he could see the future of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and so he predicted that. And he also knew when he was going to die, and so he had Bhaktivinoda Thakur by his side. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after some time, became posted, as we mentioned in his life daily schedule, as a magistrate of the government of Bengal. And even in that position, he executed devotional service in such a strict fashion. You know, there was no excuse, like we would have excuses, like, oh, I'm so busy making a living, so busy doing these things like that. Of course, his initial contact and faith, of course, this is a pastime, remember, he's a Nichisita devotee, occurred when he was situated in Burdwan. Burdwan is actually not too far from Mayapur in West Bengal. I used to travel through there, where he received copies of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita for the first time from Calcutta. And as he read these works, then he became convinced that this is far superior to Christian theology. It doesn't contradict the original Christian theology, but far superior insofar as the detailed approach, the understanding of tattva, the siddhanta, rasa, and lila. Very important four different things. Tattva, siddhanta, rasa, and lila. And so then he just manifested his pastimes as a great devotee of the Lord and was writing so many books and songs about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. One song was called Satchidananda Premalankara. And even while he was serving as a deputy magistrate, he was delivering speeches and treatises on the Srimad Bhagavatam to people from India and, who were obviously India, and England too. So there were many big assemblies at that time. Because many of the Englishmen who were there were actually great scholars. They studied Sanskrit to understand the philosophy of the Vedic literatures. So an interesting thing happened when he was transferred to a place named Champarana. People were worshipping a ghost, and the ghost would influence the judge to have a favorable opinion in the court case. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to get rid of the ghost. The ghost was living in the tree, so he employed the father of a famous girl scholar to read the Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end. And when he ended the Srimad Bhagavatam, after 1 month, the tree crashed to the ground, and many people found faith in Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Krishna at that time. So sometimes a little miracle is required. Of course, one of the most famous stories is the story of Vishakhasena. Vishakhasena was a yogi with yogic powers, and he was misusing his yogic powers to have a so-called rasa lila, oh my God, with girls that were being sent from the neighboring villages in Bengal. And so he said, I am Vishnu, Krishna, Vishnu. And here my two friends are Brahma and Shiva. So, and he was having everybody, because he has yogic powers, he could make fire come from his head or something like that. So he had people in the villages sending their girls to dance with him. And incidentally, he also challenged the authority of the British. And so that really made the British angry, and so the British wanted to get rid of him too. And so the British government asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the judge, because everybody else was afraid of approaching this yogi. You know, he's going to kill them with his yogic powers. They asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur to go arrest them with a whole bunch of soldiers at the same time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gets there. The yogi knows who Bhaktivinoda Thakur is. And the yogi says, "I know who you are. You're my devotee." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Please come with me to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath." And the yogi made a great offense. He said, "Lord Jagannath is just wood. I am God." And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard that, he immediately got angry, arrested this rascal, took him to court, and tried him. And the court case lasted 18 days. During the sixth day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter, Kadambini, got very, very sick because the yogi was actually using his mystic powers to harass Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his family. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife said, "You know, we should let him go." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Let us all die. The yogi has to be corrected." And so, on the final day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so sick that he had to drag himself to court in spite of having a very, very high fever. He pronounced this Bhishikashena guilty. And after he pronounced him guilty, there was one of the English officers there who dragged this rascal away and cut off his hair, and the yogi was keeping all of his power in his hair, and the yogi collapsed on the ground because the yogi had been fasting. He was just like performing austerities to get mystic power. And then the yogi eventually committed suicide in jail. So later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote different books like Krishna Samhita, Tattva Sutra, Tattva Viveka, many books in Bengali. In Jagannath Puri, he established a Vaishnava discussion society. He did bhajan on the banks of the ocean in Jagannath Puri. And he corrected one Charanadas Babaji, who came up with a bogus mantra, Nitya Gaur Radhisham Hare Krishna Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. He corrected him, but still this Babaji passed away because he had committed a great offense, passed away from a disease because he committed a great offense to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and to the holy name, coming up with a bogus mantra. Also in Jagannath Puri, the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur took place. His name was Bimal Prasad, who was Shilabhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Shilabhaktivinoda Thakur went to Vrindavan three different times, met Jagannath Das Babaji there during one of the visits. Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted him as the eternally worshipful Shiksha Guru, even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur had taken initiation from a person in the line of Janavamata named Vipini Vihari Goswami. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered his Siksha Guru to be more prominent and important than his Diksha Guru. In fact, his Diksha Guru was very much disrespected by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who wouldn't even offer obeisances to Vipini Vihari Goswami. I mean, there's a whole interesting story about that. Of course, we shouldn't take sides in these different disputes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur later wrote a Sanskrit commentary on different books in 1887. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to quit government service. He wanted to quit his government service, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him from doing that. And the reason he forbade him from doing that is because he wanted Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be stationed near Navadvip to find out Lord Chaitanya's appearance place. So as he was stationed in Krishnanagar, he used to go to Navadvip and he would search for the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One night, He was sitting on the roof of the Rani Dham Shala in Navadvip, chanting on his beads, and he saw a very tall, tall tree, and everything was glowing around it. And he went into the collection of different manuscripts, old manuscripts, especially by personalities like Narayasharaka and others, and he found out that that was actually the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was later confirmed by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was 125 years old when Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was brought to that place, and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj started dancing in ecstasy. So, pretty ecstatic. Anyway, so he went many times, established Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole appearance place, which is called the Yoga Pit. He collected money to make a temple there, and finally in 1894 he retired from his post as deputy magistrate. And basically from that point on he was completely dedicated to writing Krishna conscious literatures, and employed also in his son Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in helping him preach Krishna consciousness. So he was actually Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was his constant companion and help in his final days. So on June 23rd, 1914, he left this world at Jagannath Puri. It's also the disappearance of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. His remains are interred in Godrum. And that's a little bit of the history of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So any questions or comments? And it's a very important day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an amazing acharya, amazing author. His one book, which I've read or heard several times, Jiva Dharma, is an amazing novel that illustrates every aspect of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from A to Z. In other words, from you're not the body all the way to the higher rasas, relationships, how the guru instructs the disciple in understanding the higher relationships. Very esoteric, but it's very easy to read work. It's called the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, on that happy note, we can take for 5 minutes, we can take some questions from all of you. Let us unmute you. I know I didn't get a lot of time to tell about both these great personalities, but it's very important for us to observe these disappearance days and appearance days of great personalities. And tomorrow we'll go back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And on the next day after tomorrow, we have two more personalities. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sivananda Sen, and Ratyantar. And tomorrow's Gundicha Marjana. I guess we should maybe speak about Gundicha Marjana tomorrow. It was actually a very important day. Gundicha Marjana is not only the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, which represents Vrindavan, but it's the cleansing of the heart, so you can actually enter into Vrindavan so Krishna can manifest his presence in your heart. Krishna is there, but you're not able to perceive him at this point. Okay, quick, Rakesh, ask a question.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. The question is, Gurudev, Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed to read the Srimad Bhagavatam so that the ghost comes out of the tree. If a bound and stealing man, what we see is like, if they read the Bhagavatam, does it have the same effect or it has to be a devotee?
It has to be a devotee. But, you know, at least someone should read it. If they're pounds and shillings, they should read it. But the effect, it was actually done by a great devotee. He described the Pandit Rameshbhai or something like that. I forget the exact name. By the father of a great girl scholar. That's how it's described. So in other words, he was actually a very advanced devotee, not an ordinary personality. So don't expect it to work for you in the same way. The trees will all come tumbling down after you read the Bhagavatam. But if you read the Bhagavatam, at least your false ego will come tumbling down.
That would help. That's,
that would help a lot. Okay, who else? Who else wants to ask a question? You got 3 more minutes. Raise your hand, or I don't have the chat window open right now, or type in the chat window. If not, we can end. You can type in the chat window. No, in case you already asked your question. So, either type in the chat window or raise your hand or unmute yourself. Okay, I guess nobody else has any questions. Okay, so remember, we pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhara Pandit Goswami. Gadadhara Pandit Goswami is a member of the Panchatattva. He's Srimati Radharani, who is serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and helping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand how to be Radharani, how to have the mood of Radharani. Okay? So he has a very important role to play in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Very, very important. We should pray to him today. Gopal, you have a question? Quick.
Yes, Gurudev. Srila Gadadhar Pandit, he was more submissive to Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
More in the mood of Rukmini and not as talking back so much. But when Lord Chaitanya instructed him not to go to Vrindavan with him, he seemed to be a little less submissive to that order.
No, but he wasn't angry. He wasn't angry. He was just his emotions just controlled him. He still had the same bhav. I mean, he still manifested the same bhav of submission. But sometimes, even if someone's submissive, they can't even control what they're doing.
So one can be disobedient out of love without any negative emotion behind it, just weak.
Yes.
Not able to control
their emotion. Yes.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Okay, so thank you all very much, and we hope to see you all tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All glories to Gadadhara Pandit Goswami. Jai Hari Bol.